The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
On the first Monday in October, we say hello to you. What an amazing weekend it was. Of course, it depended on who you are and where you go to school or who you are a fan of. But anyway, thanks for joining us here on this Monday afternoon. And we have a lot to share with you over these next couple of hours, including a conversation with the LSU head football coach. Let's get right to the headlines. Somehow you may have missed this, probably didn't, but guess who's number one again in the country? Who said Georgia was the new Alabama? I don't know who that was. Alabama jumps Georgia barely. This is kind of looks like one of these presidential elections where one side has the popular vote, the other one has the electoral vote. Georgia has more first place votes, but Alabama has more votes overall. And you know what that means? That means Alabama is number one. Georgia, Ohio State, Michigan. Sounds like a couple of SEC Big Ten shootout. And then there is Clemson off a huge win. Tennessee's in there. Ole Miss, Kentucky, Mississippi State, LSU, all showing up this week in the top 25. Nick Saban apparently doesn't like being number one, or he just is uptight about this week, which will have that much-anticipated matchup with Texas A&M, not as anticipated as we thought it would be. He's also got the quarterback situation with Bryce Young, and he was not happy today.
Again, you know, I don't talk to Jimbo on a regular basis, but I'll call him and tell him right after the conference if you want me to. I mean, you guys think I'm going to tell you what we're going to do with our offense and our team? You might as well make it up. I saw today where there's headlines in the paper that, you know, I'm going to keep it a secret what we're going to do with Bryce. It sounded like me making that statement. But I've never said that. But it was there in black and white. Like, so you can make up whatever you want to make up. You know, look at somebody else's running quarterback and say they should put these plays in. I think that'd be a better way to do it.
Okay, since he gave us permission to make everything up, that's what we'll do the rest of the show. Let's why not? Nick Saban said we could do it. What else matters in college football? Let's get to the next item on the agenda, and that's Brian Kelly joining us in a few minutes. Michael Bratton. Who is Michael Bratton? He's he's that SEC podcast guy. I was wondering who he was yesterday. Okay. Blake Topmeyer on how Nick Saban won the offseason over Jimbo Fisher. The TOL guys will also join us. And your phone calls at 855-242-7285. Let's begin with David, who is in Alabama. Hello, David.
Hey, Paul. What's going on today?
David, I am just doing well. Thank you for asking.
Good. It's a good Monday. Bama won. Auburn lost. We're number one. That's what I'm talking about.
Seems like everything is right in the world again.
It is. But I wanted to talk to you a little bit. I hope my buddy Matt out there in Texas is okay. I don't know if he's called in. I hadn't been able to listen.
I'm afraid Matt passed away Saturday afternoon.
Are you serious?
I'm not being serious, but I'm just speaking. Is it figurative or literal? I think it's figuratively. Yeah.
Matt died
Saturday afternoon. The cause was too many A&M losses.
I got you. Well, I hope he's okay because he won't be okay after the beatdown in T-Town that's coming Saturday.
No, come on. You don't think Saban's going to let it out on a twice defeated Texas A&M team? They lost to Mississippi State over the weekend.
Paul, I could play quarterback. And put up 60 or 70 Saturday.
Well, you might be able to. Well, anyway, David, good to hear from you. Let me check in with Andre as we roll through some of the calls here before Coach Kelly joins us. So, hello, Andre.
Coach Feinbaum, thanks for taking my call, Coach. Listen, I'm an LSU fan, but, man, that quarterback Alabama got that backup. He's a warrior.
Oh, man.
Coach, he looked like a linebacker.
He turned a tight game into a route with one run.
Coach, he's the man is like a linebacker, a defensive end.
He may be.
But look, man. we got to get a quarterback that can throw the ball 30 yards down the field, 40 yards down the field with accuracy, or LSU's going to get ran out of the stadium on these next two or three games. You're not going to beat Ole Miss, and you ain't going to beat nobody like this. This guy, he can run the ball, but sooner or later, somebody's going to put the wood on him and put him out the game. He's got to be able to complete long passes with accuracy, and he hasn't been able to do that consistently. Hey, thanks for taking my call, Coach.
Thank you very, very much. Daryl is up next. Hello, Daryl. And by the way, Daryl, Daryl, congratulations on a hard-fought win over Missouri.
You know what? 2 weeks in a row, Paul, 2 weeks in a row, that Georgia has played down to their opponent. You know what? The problem is, I mean, yeah, you can take the good out of it.
Way down this week.
That's all good, resiliency. But the problem, this is very un-Kirby smart-like, okay? Very un-Kirby smart-like. It all started at the beginning, the pregame.
What does that mean, very un-Kirby smart-like?
Yeah, I mean, our best player gets out and gets in an argument. He's already injured. And, I mean, you know, that's very un-Kirby, very undisciplined. But Georgia's too young right now to hold down the number one spot. But it doesn't matter who's number one right now anyway. It matters in January. We'll get better as we go along. But it's like we didn't show up for the game. It's like 2 weeks in a row that Georgia had just taken the opponent for granted and went out there. And you know what? They ended up in a fist fight. They were able to come through in the fourth quarter. They were able to move the football. They were able to score and win the game. But I tell you what, you're not going to beat Florida. You're not going to beat Mississippi State. You're not going to beat Kentucky playing like that. I mean, it's not going to happen. So we're just going to have to play better. I mean, I have confidence in Kirby. I still think he's the best coach in college football right now. I think he'll get it together. But very, very undisciplined for Georgia.
Daryl, you sound a little shook. I kind of hate to hear that. John is up next in Louisville. Hey, John.
Well, he sounds very un-Daryl-like, doesn't he, on the phone?
Where are all the shots? That was surprising. By the way, John, welcome back to the States.
Hey, I told Danny I sent like 100 pictures from Italy to your email account.
Sadly, John, the CIA intercepted them.
They were nude.
They would like for you to go through the second door on the right, and they have a man waiting for you.
Oh, God. Well, maybe I'll send him again. Who knows?
Yeah.
But it's just great to be back on the show. I got back Wednesday night, and I was in the Atlanta Delta room, and I turned your show on from the computer, and Jim was a happy sapien or homo sapien, whichever works. And then he went into that cat fight with who is that? Legend, not legend, I-Man. And just, it's like a soap opera. Everything returned to me.
Yeah, the Crown Room is a bizarre place to catch back up with Jim from Tuscaloosa, isn't it?
Yeah. And then I took jet lag break on Thursday, but it was nice to see Laura host Paul Feinbaum, This Is Your Life segment there.
Yeah, that was rather uncomfortable. That segment with Laura.
I could tell. And I had an epiphany over there. You know, I was self-medicating with wine and gorging myself with pastries and pasta, but all of a sudden Legend showed up on the internet. And more importantly, I guess it was Skip Golden.
Yeah, Skip Golden.
And so I had to go back and look at that. That was classic. And then I've got some awards. I think the Kevin Sumlin Achievement Award should go out every year, probably for the fifth straight year, to Jimbo Fisher, don't you?
I think Jimbo could be awarded something else if he's not here. Hey, John, I hate to run. We're up against the break here. Brian Kelly will be joining us in a minute, the head coach at LSU, as the Tigers get ready to take on Tennessee this weekend.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Brian Kelly joining us in just a few moments. Dan is up next in Louisiana. Hello, Dan.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call. Paul, I can't believe the season is almost halfway open, first of all. That's kind of depressing, but I'm really up on the Tigers. I really think they have a good chance against Tennessee, even though it's going to be played in the daytime. I'm glad to see they're in the top 25. But I think they're showing giving LSU 3 in the game. But I really believe LSU's going to win that game.
Well, Dan, thank you very much. And our next guest probably will have more to do with that than the two of us. We say hello to Brian Kelly, the head coach at LSU, fresh off a win on the road against Auburn. Of course, the Tigers taking on Tennessee this weekend. Coach Kelly, thank you very much. It's always nice of you to make time, especially on a busy week like this. How are you?
I'm doing good, Paul. Thanks for having me on.
Well, I know there's so many things that are being fired at you about this game and about the last game, but I'm particularly interested in just your assessment after a couple of weeks of a lot of close calls, some really good wins, some tight situations. How it's going for you, and how comfortable are you in this new position?
Oh, I'm very comfortable. I love coaching our kids here at LSU. We've asked them to do things almost 180 degrees from what they've done in the past, and they've jumped in with blind faith, doing things differently on a day-to-day basis. It's a process, as you know, Paul. Every single day they learn different things, how to prepare, how to practice, new systems, offense, defense, and special teams. And the one thing they continue to do is fight. They show grit, determination. We would like to be cleaner. Getting down 17-0 on the road is not the way you want to live. But they battle. And look, if you're going to build an identity, one with heart, one with determination, it's a good way to start.
I mean, you've won two very critical SEC games. Tough situations. The one on the road the other night. If somebody said you're going to be down by that kind of score at Jordan-Hare Stadium, you're looking for the nearest bar probably to try to soothe your wounds. But what do you gain other than a win? You mentioned identity. Is that part of what happens after a road win like that?
Well, I think what we knew was this team would fight. I think what it does is when you're able to teach lessons after a win, you can't throw the ball for 85, 90 yards in the SEC and be a consistent winner. So it really forces you to look at your coaching, your teaching. It really forces you to look at how are you preparing? You know, how are the players preparing? And allows that critical examination of everything that you're doing with a win. And so we can go out to the practice field and know that we're playing, you know, an outstanding Tennessee team, but we have to get better. And if we're not better, you're not going to beat Tennessee on heart and determination. You're not going to beat Mississippi. You're not going to beat Florida at Florida, or certainly not Alabama. So it really forces you to look inside and what you're doing and how you're doing it. And now if you're better at all the things that I just mentioned and you play with heart and determination, now you got something going.
Talking to Coach Brian Kelly as the Tigers get ready for Tennessee this weekend. I know you've been asked already and will continue to be asked a lot about Jaden Daniels. We had a great conversation with him the other day, and certainly his injury situation is paramount to your success. What is the latest on that, if you could share with us?
Yeah, you know, I've always, Paul, felt like there's a difference between being injured and being hurt. If you're injured, our trainers are going to take care of you. They're going to pull you out of the game. If you're hurt, they're going to administer the things necessary and try to get you back in the game. He was hurt, but the pain level was pretty high. And so he wasn't able to finish the game, but he's much better today. And he'll be ready to play on Saturday. But, you know, that's the nature of a quarterback that's one that likes to get out and run a little bit. He's going to get hurt sometimes. But injuries, he's not injured, he'll be ready to go this Saturday.
Speaking of quarterbacks, you've been asked and will continue to be asked about Hendon Hooker. And I'm particularly interested in your thoughts on what you see when you look at him. He's literally come not out of nowhere, because he was well known when he got to Tennessee, but now he's the talk of the country.
Yeah, Paul, I remember him when he was at Virginia Tech. I faced him, and you know, I thought a lot of him back then when he was just a young player. Big, athletic, strong. And if you think of him just as that, that's where you get beat, because he can throw the football as well. I just think he's a great competitor. You know, he plays in an up-tempo offense. It's the fastest offense in the country. You know, obviously outproducing everybody. And then you have a guy that certainly is not getting the kind of notoriety yet, but I've seen a lot of really good quarterbacks, and this guy is as good as anybody that I've gone against, because he has the ability to break your defense down, because when he gets outside, he's big and physical and makes things happen.
Coach, we talked to you a lot during the offseason, and there's probably way too much conversation about the transition from Notre Dame to where you are. But now that you're in this week to week, you were playing fantastic teams at Notre Dame across the country and throughout the world. But how would you describe what you're now experiencing as the week to week battles in the Southeastern Conference?
Yeah, fast and physical. You know, I think the proliferation of the offensive talent for me has been probably the biggest thing. You know, the skill talent, and then the interior defensive lines, you know, across the board. You know, this weekend we're going to see probably 10 or 12 players roll in for Tennessee. So I think it's that consistent defensive line presence, and then the skill players on the perimeter are just outstanding at this level in the SEC.
Coach, I'll let you go, because I know that you're in the middle of game week, but final thoughts. Fans make a lot out of this at Tiger Stadium, and I realize this is your first year. The early start, you played at night. You played literally a lot of games at night so far. Is it much different getting ready for something like this? I mean, 11 o'clock is an early start for anything in my world, let alone a college football game.
Yeah. Look, they're college kids, you know. Their schedule is they don't do much more before 2 o'clock. But look, at the end of the day, they're going to be ready. They'll be excited to play. I think we make a little bit too much of it. Everybody wants that primetime spot. You know, when LSU's a little bit better and we're a top 10 team, I don't think we'll have to worry about time slots.
No, and by the way, this is a strange week. I think too many people are looking at the starting time of this game as something other than it is. It's still going to be a pretty widely viewed game. Coach, we promise to get you out of here. I know you're back to getting ready for Tennessee as opposed to gabbing with us, but we always appreciate your time.
My pleasure, Paul. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you very much. Brian Kelly joining us from Baton Rouge. And I just started thinking about, you know, imagine yourself immersed in a very busy week. And there's so little time. You get back in the middle of the night from Auburn. And you're in the middle of your day. And then your assistant walks in and says, "Oh, I forgot to tell you, you got to do the Paul Feinbaum show." What do you think there's a curse word said or two? Coach was great. We appreciate his time very much. And we'll take a short break. And your phone call is right after this.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
So it was not a good weekend if you were a head football coach. Darrell out, Chris out. Those are two coaches. Chris especially had done a really good job. Darrell had not. But the coaching carousel continues. I mean, we are first week of October. Herm's out. Darrell, Jeff Collins last week. Frost, of course. Chris. And there could be more on that list. Augie Daddy coming in right after his coach. Hello, Augie.
Hey, Paul. Hey, you know, it's good to listen to a guy you can understand. Because last time you had the coach all going, you can't.
Yeah, I don't know, Augie. I am finding conversations with Brian Kelly to be very enjoyable versus the last two LSU coaches.
Brian Kelly's the kind of guy that if you were on a flight, you'd have a nice conversation with him. He wouldn't bore you to death, and he would know when to not talk when you want to, like, right. Zone out.
He seems
out,
like, but he's fairly well-mannered for an LSU football coach.
Thanks a lot, Paul. Is that a comment on the LSU fan base?
No, that's a comment on Les Miles and Ed Ogeron.
Okay. Speaking of Les Miles, we're not giving him enough credit. Look at all the talent he left at Kansas.
Now,
look at Kansas.
Now, is it okay if I recommended that Les Miles be the guest picker this week for game day? I mean, after all, he got this program to where it is.
Yeah, but I think Les Miles has a lot of, what do they call them, sexual harassment complaints that are still lingering out there.
Excuse me, Augie, I forgot. How could I forget that?
I don't know, but Paul, you all but buried Arkansas, right?
I don't remember burying Arkansas.
You said, Mississippi State, Arkansas is out, but Mississippi State has a chance, so that's burying Arkansas. And by the way, they need to be buried because that's two in a row. They're out of it, as far as I'm concerned. And as far as that number three team in the SEC, feeling any better about Tennessee, or do you think Ole Miss has proved something to you this week? I think that Ole Miss game, Kentucky lost it as much as Ole Miss wanted.
That was I'm really happy for Lane Kiffin's program, but man, did Kentucky say, okay, let's throw this game away, we get another chance, let's throw it away again, what one final shot at winning the game, let's just go ahead and gift wrap it for the Rebels.
I mean, Levis, he played somewhat okay, but, I mean, towards the end, he was just
– I think he was listening to Todd McShay here Friday talk about how he could be the first player taken in the NFL draft. And
I think he was. And here's another one. Did you see any of the LSU-Auburn game?
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
So another game where – Brian,
you know, by the way, I don't bet, Augie, but I'm going to start betting. And what I'm going to do – is take the under for Auburn in every big game because they can't score in the second half.
that was crazy. And again, another instance of BK was worried. I mean, he was worried, and so everybody was worried. Another game where it might be more that Auburn lost it than LSU won it, because, I mean, for a while there, we weren't able to do anything. So, I mean, we eked out of Auburn with that win. So, but that was a big win. I mean, that's a huge program win. That and the state game were two big wins that we had to have in order to at least have a 7-5 season.
No,
I mean,
that game was that game was incredibly critical. And I mean, you can't lose to Auburn this year. That's taboo.
Absolutely. So, you know, it's yet to be seen what we do against Tennessee. I'm not necessarily expecting a win, but hey, y'all want one. But I think he came through when he had to come through.
People don't understand. You know, they all this talk about Saturday night in Tiger Stadium. Bloody Marys can go down just as easily as Jack and Water.
They can. I want to ask you this question, Paul, about Lane Kiffin. Do you think when Lane Kiffin went for that, when it was, what is it, 4th and 4 at the goal line? Was it the first quarter?
Maybe the second quarter. First half.
But he decides to go for it.
Yeah.
Now, is that an immature move on his part? I mean, does he still need some learning? Because it was clear to everybody, you should have taken the point.
It was a terrible decision. Because there's no reason at that point to play with fire. But I think I think once you're a gambler, you're a gambler, and that's always the key is to modulate. Hey, thank you very much for the call. Let's check in with Charlie in Wicksburg.
Paul. Oh, woe is me, Paul. How are you?
Well,
I got a couple of bones I want to pick with you, and what was that caller from Birmingham used to get at the end of his call and just say, I'm going to let you go?
I'm going to say this and let you go. That was, who was that? Bobby from Birmingham.
Oh, yeah, Bobby. I really like that. But I got a couple of bones I want to pick with you real quick, and then I'm going to let you go if that's okay with you.
You may.
Hey. You know, I was giving you my five. I spent a lot of time on picking my picks the other day, and I gave you a five-game parlay that hit. And let me tell you something, Paul. A $20 parlay, five-game parlay, paid $873.29. Now, you know, legend comes in and says,
Charlie,
not
to quote some country music song, but still kind of don't care.
Well, I know you don't care, but that's my one bone. My other two picks.
Well, Charlie, I'm sorry, but this is not a betting show. And if you would like to give your picks, you're welcome. My point is the same today as it was then. You can buy advertising, right. and you can get an 800 or 900 number. I don't know which one it is.
All right. I'm done with that. Okay?
We don't need. I'll just cut to the chase. Okay, we don't need your betting picks here. Okay.
Okay, I'm not going to give them to you no more, but I got one thing.
You want them, Randy?
I got one thing. One thing, okay?
Hey, I mean, if I want betting picks, I'll subscribe to Danny Sheridan, okay?
No. This is something to do with the creator called and talked to me, okay? Can I finish my call?
You tell me.
We hope so.
All right. Well, my creator talked to me the other day about the way I was talking to Jim and the No Man down there on the show, and he said it was all based on a lie and not to talk about them anymore. And then all of a sudden, I just woke up and said, what the hell? That's bull. Have a great show.
Shame on me.
Yeah.
I let a fool go too far. let's continue with Bubba in North Carolina. Hello, Bubba.
Paul, what happened to Daryl today?
Daryl was not confident. I don't know what to make out of Daryl's call.
A little shaky.
Do you think 26 points is going to knock Rocky Flop off?
I don't know yet. No.
Well, Daryl needs to quit worrying about Alabama and worry more about his side of the conference, because I don't think they're going to have a cakewalk to Atlanta this year.
Okay.
I'm fairly certain Kentucky, Florida, and Tennessee are all going to be problems for Georgia after watching them play. They've not played nobody yet, Paul. And I've not been impressed with who they played. Have you?
Not really, no. I think Oregon will go down as a better game than we thought.
Nah, Oregon's a joke. They're out there playing pansy ball in the Pac-12 right now, winning a few ball games.
I thought Oregon was the worst team I'd ever seen, but they've recovered nicely.
My goodness, they've got Bo Nix for a quarterback, man.
Yeah, well, check them out again. They don't look like the same team they did on the first Saturday in September.
Well, I know. I wish them all the luck in the world, but I'm telling you, Georgia better get their act together because they're never going to see Alabama on the football field if they don't tighten up a lot.
Okay.
And Darryl can run his mouth all he wants to about them. But that's just my two cents. Have a good day.
Okay. Well, thank you. That was exciting. We're having some problems here communicating with our callers. Let me try Pat in Georgia.
Hey, Paul. Thanks. I'm beginning to like Brian Kelly, and I'm sitting here shaking my head in agreement with Darryl. That was a good old-fashioned SEC football game Saturday night. There was a lot of defense. Every once in a while, offense showed up. We finally wore them out. And beat them by wearing them out after all their excitement got out of their system. I think you go back and you look at Samford and Kent State and then Missouri and Como. Rat poison has infested the building. Kirby, Nick Jr., doesn't have that team right now. And he's got to get rid of the rat poison. They're looking at the spread, and they're looking at they're listening to what everybody's saying about them. And if they continue to do that, Auburn, I don't know, and then Vanderbilt, but November is going to be tough with Florida and Mississippi State and Tennessee, even though it's at home, and it's probably be a 3:30 game. But he's got to get that team back. He does not have that team right now.
Well, Pat, let me offer this about Kirby Smart. I don't know what's going on within the team, but sometimes I think we all have to remember these young guys are paying way too much attention to whatever is being said here and elsewhere, and it affects them. There's living proof of that every single week. Let's take a short break. We've started with Brian Kelly. Fantastic conversation. We have much more to come right after this.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we welcome all of you back. Great to have you with us. And let's check in with Cat Daddy, who is up next. Hello, Cat Daddy.
Big Ball, I'm so blessed to be able to see you today, and I'll tell you a story. I went in Saturday morning to open up the party shack next to the liquor store.
Sure.
We have people come in to watch game day there in the Paul Feinbaum room, as you know. And it said, no ESPN available. And I'm like, oh, Lord, we were going to watch the Clemson game day because we all thought the Wolfpack was going to whoop their butt. But we didn't get it. And I said, oh, Lord. And then Sunday I got thinking, how am I going to get to see Mr. Feinbaum? Well, Junior called me and says, that is all about money. And I said, well, I figured that. And then I figured out why it's all about money. Mr. Feinbaum, be honest with the American people. Have you asked for a pay raise?
Yes, I have. How did you know that, Cat Daddy?
Well, they want to charge me more money to be able to watch it. That's why I figured that one out.
Yeah, but no, you know, I felt like we had to do it. There was an issue with Dish. I believe it's been resolved, has it not?
Yeah, yes, it has.
I think over the weekend, Dish subscribers could not get ESPN or the SEC network.
That's exactly right. We suffered through that, but it's back on now, thank the Lord. But I'm sure it had to be with you wanting a big pay raise. That's all I can think of.
Yeah, well, here's the problem. We're back, but I didn't get it.
Big Paul, God bless you. Have fun. Enjoy the show. And go Gamecocks.
Instead of giving me the raise, they cut my cable off.
No more free cable for you.
Greg is up next. Hello, Greg.
Hey, good afternoon, Paul. Pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you.
I was in Starkville on Saturday for that whoop down that the Bulldogs gave to A&M.
Yes.
And I wanted to ask you, you know, I've been following Mike Leach's career since I was a grad student in Lubbock back in 2000s. And to see him evolve, you know, over these past 20 years is, you know, refreshing, because I've always found that most college coaches, or most coaches, are they are what they are. They're going to be there from their young days until they end. But it's just amazing how he has adapted to each stop that he's been, even though they're the outpost of college football, whether it be Lubbock, Pullman, or Starkville. Have you been surprised in terms of how he has managed his time in the SEC so far?
Yeah, Greg, I think it's been, there have been some good highs, wins, a couple wins over LSU, the win the other night, but it's been a little bit, I think it's just taken some time to get adjusted. I think the biggest and most glaring vacancy on his resume has been a win over Ole Miss, but, he's happened to have faced two very good Ole Miss teams.
Yeah, and this year's Egg Bowl will be monstrous. But
really will.
Do you think he can continue to get that talent? I mean, he's going to need to continue to get that talent. Whereas in the past, he would be more on a strategic level to beat teams, as opposed to just lining straight up and
I think if you listen to Brian Kelly a few minutes ago, he talked about just the enormity of talent at the key positions, especially the skill positions, the perimeter. And I think ultimately you can – Mike Leach is smart enough to win. He's smart enough to outmaneuver or out-scheme anybody else. But at some point, lack of players will do you in when you look at the depth that all the top teams have. So it hasn't – he's had a mastery in these last 2 years over Jimbo Fisher, who has recruited at the highest level. But, ultimately you have to coach the players too. And with Leach, I have no doubt that is his strong suit. Thank you for the call. Trey is up next.
Hey, Paul, I'm just calling in to see if I can give you my college football picks for the weekend, please.
Sure, go right ahead. You paid for it. This is all yours.
Hey, Paul, let me ask you a question. And before you answer, let me finish it. Are you sure that was Daryl? Because if I'm not mistaken, 3 weeks ago, he called in his first, and I'm going to try to paraphrase it. By Nick Saban, Alabama, by Ohio State, there's a new king in town called Kirby Smart and the Georgia Bulldogs, and we're going back to back to back. Did he not say something like that?
Well, I don't know whether he did or not, because Trey, a little secret among friends, I don't listen to anything he says.
Well, and it was going to bring me to this point. So now they're young and they're rebuilding. I mean, they're young and they got injuries, and number one don't matter right now. So are they rebuilding now? Because he said they just reload. So now they've gone into the rebuilding mode.
You're giving way too much credit to our dearly departed Daryl.
One more question for you, Paul, about analytics and coaching decision. We saw Lane Kiffin do it. Augie brought it up. I saw the Ravens coach did it yesterday. We had somebody in the SEC go for two when nobody thought. Are coaches more – do you think coaches are relying too much on analytics and not just coaching and what's going on in the game?
You have to know the analytics, and they all do. There's a zillion people on the sidelines that can tell the coach, okay, this is 34.3%. But the great coaches, coach out of instinct. In the big, there's only a handful of decisions a head coach really makes during a game.
Most of the stuff is done beforehand. Well, and that's when you have to trust your instinct. And, you know, Lane made – remember the Alabama game last year? Lane made a mess out of that. He's fortunate that it didn't happen the other night. His team and his defense bailed him out. We will take a short break. We open the program with Brian Kelly live from Baton Rouge, and we have 3 more hours to go. We hope you'll stick around.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.